Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Four Wide Salute podcast. I am TJ Lane, along with Brandon Segal.
Hey, everybody.
On this edition of the Four Wide Salute, we're going to talk about something that is probably not something that a lot of dirt track racing fans have really thought about, just because this guy has been such a mainstay in the sport for such a long amount of time. But we're going to talk about Scott Blomquist, and the topic we're going to discuss is life after Bloomer, because Brandon, it don't matter who it is with any driver, there's always going to come a point when they hang it up and call it a career. And what's that going to mean for dirt late model racing whenever Scott decides to do that?
I tell you what, I think that it's been a topic that's been want to have been ignored or easily ignored because the guy still's going strong until he had his incident this year. We all heard about his bike incident, and it was kind of quiet for a long time on, how bad he was actually injured. And you wish the best for the guy, but you have to think, when Scott retires or something happens, what is the sport going to be like without Scott Blomquist? Because he is absolutely the face of dirt late model racing. There is not a person, a driver, a person, a persona in all of motorsports who gets a bigger reaction from the crowd when he's introduced than Scott Blomquist.
I think Scott is the closest racer in all of motorsports that we've ever seen to a Dale Earnhardt type figure, as far as somebody that, you may love him or you may hate him, but it's a fact that you're going to make a noise when he's introduced in driver introductions, and he's one of the main reasons why you go to a race to watch.
I have been at Eldora for the World 100 or the Dirt Late Model Dream, and there will be people stand and cheer for Scott when he gets introduced, while a few seats down, there will be some guy stand up on top of the seat booing and cussing Scott. And it is the entire speedway from turn three back to turn one. The crowd erupts. This guy is absolutely the closest thing in motorsports to a Dale Earnhardt persona. It's honestly amazing to be a part of. And if you haven't experienced one of these big events where Scott is there, you honestly need to show up somewhere and experience it. It is a special time in this sport to have this guy who's accomplished so much and get that kind of visceral reaction from so many people. It's indescribable, and that is what everyone has always talked about with Dale Earnhardt when he was in his prime. People absolutely loved him, or they absolutely hated him. And now, as we see, with age, with the incident, where are we going to be when that persona is gone from the racetrack?
I think whenever that happens, I think it's going to leave a huge void in the sport, because I think just as with the Earnhardt and NASCAR, I don't think you ever see somebody come along that's just like Blomquist. I don't think anybody ever gets to imitate him. I think Scott is one of those figures in the sport there's only one Scott Blomquist, and we've got a lot of great personalities in dirt late model racing and a ton of great drivers. But I tell you what, Brandon, I just don't think you ever see anybody replace Scott.
I don't know how you can, but when you go to the question, where are we going to be? And, you want to look at the veterans, but their place in history is mostly set. You've got Jimmy Owens, who really played off of that rivalry with Scott Blomquist and really has a lot of fans, but he does not get that reaction. You look at Jonathan Davenport, who had the greatest season in dirt late model racing ever, if not in motorsports, with his win percentage and amount of big wins in 2015. The guy gets a lot of noise, but it's not the same. Those guys are probably pretty arced in history. So you look at the young guys, who can step up to fill that role? You look at, Tyler Erb. He's still really early in his national prominence, but he's really aggressive, and he makes a lot of enemies on the track. and in the stands, and then there's a lot of people that like that aggressive driving. You know, can somebody like that with their driving style be enough to propel themselves into not where Scott is, but closer to where that row would be, you know, emptied into the sport? And that's kind of the same with Bobby Pierce. You know, the guy has a lot of fans, a lot of fans. Then there's a lot of people who really don't like Bobby's fans. To be honest.
Yes.
But, yeah. You know, is that, you know, fan rivalry? Because Earnhardt Gordon, their rivalry was really between their fan bases. Can the Pierce posse and this other fan base, can they have a fan rivalry that helps propel the sport forward? Because Bobby is a hell of a race car driver, but he doesn't run national tours. He, you know, it sounds like I'm talking bad against him, but it's the truth. He stays at home. He runs his region, and he runs with his family team. He ran the Dunn Benson car last year, but he had all the family ties and 1 year on the national tour, and he's back running with the family team. And, you know, I'm not really someone to tell him how to live his life and his career, but if you want to get on that national stage, you've got to run with the big dogs every chance you can.
I think Herb and Pierce are probably maybe the two, you know, two kind of front runners in there that could be somebody as they get a lot older and into their careers that could, you know, maybe come close to getting kind of the pop and stuff that Scott gets. Like I said, I don't think anybody ever gets to the level that Scott is with everything, but I think those are two that, you know, that you could possibly see. And, you know, I think as you look at kind of the progression of things, because with Dirt Late Model Racing, it's going to go through a kind of a transformation period, just as NASCAR has, as you get these veteran drivers as they get older and they start to retire, it's going to go through that phase. And of course, with Dirt Late Model Racing compared to NASCAR, these guys are able to hang along a whole lot longer than they have been in NASCAR, because they get pushed out by sponsors and all that with the NASCAR deal. But you know, I think, like I said, when you look at Urban Pierce, they're in their early 20s, and I think when you're just trying to look at somebody that's maybe in the, I don't know, they're between 30 and 40 or 30 and 45, I just don't know of anybody that's in that age of group that's really going to kind of fit that mold whenever, you know, Scott goes and calls it a career, and you know, some of the older guys, and then, you know, while these younger guys are still trying to build their careers up, those guys, it's kind of in the middle. I'm not really sure if there's any of them in there that really have that pop with the fans that Scott has.
And, you know, kind of thinking while you was talking about some of the younger talent, you've got like guys like Brandon Shepherd. You got Josh Richard, who is 30, 31, still fairly young. And especially, you know, Richards and Shepherd, they've had a lot of success, national championships. But to be successful as a dirt late model racer, you have to do one thing. You have to win at Eldora. That is our Indy. That is our Daytona. You have to be successful at Eldora. What Scott did was he showed up his very first time ever to Eldora for the World 100, and he won the damn thing. And you've got Richards, who's never ran well there, and you've got Shepherd, who's ran well but has not been able to close the deal. And then you look at Herb, he's ran his family stuff, even a little more time, but then you have Bobby Pierce, who has won the World 100. If we could get him out on a national tour, and I understand, hey, they've got to make their financials work. They'd probably love to do it. But you need to be able to showcase Bobby on a national tour if you want this legion and fan base anything near what Scott has.
To kind of turn this topic to a different point of it here, so with Scott, we know that he's had his injury that he happened with the motorcycle accident. So do you think that could this kind of maybe be the beginning of kind of the last few years of Scott's career? Do you think that he's going to be able to come back from this and be just as strong as what he always has been?
I have two thoughts on this. And one is, regardless of the accident, Father Time takes care of us all. He's getting a little older. He's probably still got some years left. If you look at Billy Moyer, he's a few years older than Scott. Billy's runs part-time, still runs fairly successfully when he comes out. But there's not going to be that many years left. And then you look at the accident, and then there's just a huge question mark. But there's been other times in which people have tried to bury Scott, and here he comes, knocking the dirt off and winning another big race at Eldora or another national championship or putting on some kind of show somewhere and basically telling you to kiss his – that's Scott Blomquist.
And that's true. We've seen that with Scott before. We've seen him kind of go through slumps, and then it's just like out of nowhere. It's just like out of nowhere he'll go and, you know, he'll get him a dream win or get him a world win or – you know, go on a winning streak with the Lucas Oil Late Model Series where he wins five or six races in a row. It's something he's done in his whole career. But I think this is kind of uncharted territory for him, though, to have this severe of an injury. And that's something we've seen in motorsports, that just with an injury like that, it can kind of change the guys. I think a good example of that is Tony Stewart. You know, after he seemed to me after he broke his leg in that accident in the sprint car. What was it, Brandon? Maybe 2013. Yes, 13. After that happened, it seemed like Tony was never quite the same after that.
It definitely took Tony. He was never the same in the Cup car. And then he had the incident another year later that we won't go into too many details on. Those two incidents really cut the wind out of Tony's sails. And honestly, he is just now starting to come around as a driver, because he's having fun in his dirt car and getting to race the dirt car quite often. And to your point, you just never know how that's going to affect a driver. You don't know how it affects them physically, mentally. You don't know. I think my point is that with Scott Blomquist, that guy is a wild card, and nothing about Scott will surprise me.
I think maybe a piece of the puzzle that we're seeing with the future of Scott, I think, you know, the news came out that, you know, he has a partner in his team now with Cody Sommer. For anybody that's not familiar with Cody, he's the man who started the Gateway Dirt Nationals. You know, he took over Mansfield Motor Speedway, bought it, and, you know, made it a dirt track, and he's ran a ton of big events there. So, you know, Cody's a guy who's kind of an innovator in this sport. He's a guy that's not afraid to take gambles and you know, go and try big stuff. And, you know, he's got Cody that's a partner in the team now. I've heard some people say that, yeah, you know, that maybe even it's to the point that, you know, maybe, you know, Cody's the main man on the team and taking care of the financials, and Scott's kind of the driver and still kind of the brain behind it. You know, of course, that's all rumors and hearsay. You don't know, you know, how much to the extent that all of that is. But you know, I think that with Scott bringing Cody on board, I think that's what he's preparing to do. I think he's already kind of starting to prepare for that future of when he's not going to be behind the wheel, because, you know, what came out in the release with that was a lot of talk about kind of the whole Team Zero brand with the chassis and stuff. So, I think that kind of paints a picture of hey, you know, maybe we could be in the last few years of Scott's driving career.
Scott has had issue with crew personnel for several years, basically since Tommy Hicks left. He's been through a lot of crew members, crew chiefs. We know the problems they had in Florida this year with their crew chief being detained. So there's a lot of that day-to-day operations that I do not doubt that Scott had a lot of trouble filling out himself while still focusing on racing in the race car and doing the innovations that Scott has done. And that's something we haven't even talked to this point. Scott Blomquist has changed the face of dirt late model racing from the ground up, because that guy has innovated so much of the technology we see today in these race cars himself. He's the one that really started the four-wheel steer. He's the one that, when we were doing the three-wheel setups, he was the first one to put all four back on the ground. Scott has been a trendsetter and an innovator in this sport. That's what he excels at. And, you know, maybe the day-to-day just wasn't his gig. So I don't, you know, yes, that could be an indicator. He wants to look for the future. I've heard him talk about, you know, he may not be around for all that long before, because he likes to fiddle with his race cars and go testing almost as much as he likes to go racing. So is he setting up for that next chapter? I think so, for sure. But I don't know how long or short that means his actual racing career is. I think he's finally seen the light that he needs help. And from, you know, from a hospital bed or from your bed in Tennessee, it probably helps you think about a lot of things and see where you want to go next in life.
As we talk about that next chapter, I think that's going to be interesting to see how that all happens, because I think Scott's going to stay involved in this sport long after he gets done with his driving career. I think, I think we could see Scott, still keeping his race team going with putting a driver in his car. I think he's definitely going to keep the chassis deal going. And who knows, that may be something that he builds up even more when he's not having to worry about, you know, keeping his own race team going as a driver and with the day-to-day operations and all that. So I think, I think even though Scott's driving career will come to an end one day, I think he stays in the sport for a long time, maybe with a different role. And, you know, with Scott being Scott, I think he's still going to make things interesting, even if he's in the sport just as like a car owner or a chassis builder only.
I don't think Scott ever had plans, from interviews I've heard, to leave the sport completely. And after Scott's driving career, life after Bloomer, if he stays around the sport and he's at the track and he's still giving cocky interviews, the sport's going to be better off for it.
Oh, all there's no doubt about that. I mean, Scott, he just creates so much controversy and so much talk. And you know what? Some people may say that's a bad thing, but I think that's a great thing. I mean, that's what keeps everything interesting in this sport. I mean, it's just, you know, just when things start to get kind of quiet, here comes Scott, you know, doing something different to get everybody talking. And I mean, you know, you look at other forms of motorsports with NASCAR. I mean, NASCAR would die, I think, to have a figure like Scott Blomquist in the sport right now, or to have somebody that's even half of what Bloomer is, because he's, it's just amazing what Scott has done, I think, to kind of keep the fan base enthused and energetic, whether you love the man or you hate the man.
Absolutely. And you mentioned NASCAR would love to have a personality like that. That's why it's going to be really important for the World Racing Group and Lucas Oil Series and everybody in the industry to remember they got to let these young kids be themselves and sometimes do some of that, you know, craziness that Scott has done. And maybe they're imitating Scott, maybe they're not, but you got to let these guys be themselves. That's what NASCAR, they started having their issue when they started taking the personality away from the drivers. Don't do this, don't do that, don't say it this way. We've got to make sure that we let this next generation be themselves, react how they're going to react, and for better or worse, embrace it. And I think, you know, somebody's got to wear the black hat, and that's been Scott for many years. And I think we've got to let somebody come in natural or step up to that, you know, when Scott's career really gets to the end of the line.
Yeah, as we kind of wrap up on this topic, with Scott, I've seen a lot of drivers, and there, you know, I just had to say with him, it's just whether you're a fan of the guy or not, it's just amazing what he's been able to do on track. You know, take all the off track stuff away. Just what he's done on track. I mean, I've been to so many races that, you know, going into the future, you just count him out, and you know he just finds a way to be there at the end, and still a win. It's just amazing what he's done on track, and I count myself absolutely blessed to have been able to watch Scott so much, and I think he's a guy that whenever that day does come that he retires, I think he's going to be respected even more for what he's been able to do.
I think when the day finally comes, I think even the people who absolutely hate Scott, the guy that jumps up on that chair and boos and cusses Scott in driver introduction to the Eldora, will most likely say, damn, he was special. And that was something that I got to watch the guy race for all these years, especially on the grandest stage. It's something that we all need to take time to appreciate, is how great some of these characters are. And in all of motorsports, Scott is probably the greatest character with some of the greatest talent for what he's chosen to do. And you said it right. I think we should all count ourselves blessed and just enjoy what's left of the ride.
Yeah, I know one thing. I hope the ride continues on for a long time. And you know, one thing we didn't bring up is, maybe Scott sticks around. Maybe even though he does, he retires from the national tour, maybe he still sticks around, kind of like what Billy Moyer's done, and still run some of the bigger races. Just a few weeks ago, we saw Delmas Conley, who's 77 or 78 years old. He's still willing Dirt Late Models of putting them in victory lane at the local races against some pretty tough competition. So who knows? Maybe in another 20 years, we still have Scott around racing a car in some form. I know that sure would be awesome.
Like I said earlier, nothing would surprise me with Scott Blomquist. You never know what he's going to do on track. You never know what he's going to pull off track. You never know what smoke and mirrors comes with the man. He plays a heck of a character on TV. He gets a lot of bad mouthing because of the character that he plays. But if you go up to the guy and it's not right at race time, he may not talk a whole lot with you, but he's very accommodating with the fans. I've never heard him say no to an autograph or a picture. I think we need to appreciate the guy for what he is. He's one of the greatest of all time. It's all right not to like him. I'm not a big Blomquist fan as far as I'm not rooting for him. But, damn, you got to appreciate the guy.
One last story to tell about Scott, just to go along with what you said. I was at St. Louis this past year for the Gateway Dirt Nationals, and Scott was able to make it in on the Saturday night feature with the provisional. But up to that point, it was a horrendous weekend for him. I mean, things went bad Thursday. They went bad Friday. I mean, the guy could not have had probably a worse of a weekend than what he had. But you know what? On Friday, I look over. I see people pointing, and it's Scott Blomquist. Scott Blomquist is going around the stands, and he's sitting there in the stands with fans talking to him, watching the races, in his street clothes. Here comes a guy after just a miserable time, he's able to go out in his street clothes, and instead of wanting to be by himself or get away from the track, he's right there with the fans interacting with them. And I saw a ton of fans go up to him, want pictures, want autographs, and the man didn't turn not one of them down. I thought that was something that was pretty special. That even though Scott does play that character, I think deep down that shows what type of a guy that Scott is.
Absolutely, and I think I can speak for both of us. We can't wait to have Scott back. He's down, but he's not out. They're building the team with Cody, like you mentioned. He's talking about rehab, and he'll be back in a few months. The guy could even be back for the World 100, and that would be awesome because the guy rocks the house. Let us know what you think about Scott, where you think the sport will be when Scott retires. What are some good memories, bad memories about the Zero car? Thank you for listening to this edition of the Four Wide Salute. Check us out wherever you listen to podcasts. Until next time, guys.